All right, we're here to talk about insights for ArcGIS. Thank you for taking the time coming to hear us speak. My name is Art Haddad, Linda Beal, my colleague, and let's go ahead and get started. So, I'd like to start out with this slide right here. We all recognize that data itself is critically important. Without it, we can't do much. However, I'd like to assert that, in fact, it's not as important as the answers it provides or the stories that it tells. This itself was the beginning of what is now known as Insights for ArcGIS. It's a way to achieve answers by asking questions of your data. And of course, once you get those answers through an iterative process, I might add, one question might lead to an answer leading to many more questions. You want to be able to share the stories. So this session is going to talk through that entire thing and, more importantly, show you. Of course, anytime you begin an analytic study, the first step is in that study is understanding your data. And you begin by asking questions of your data. Things like, where is your business most exposed? Where are my elderly citizens related in relation to my facility so that they can achieve better healthcare? There's lots of questions like this that you want to be able to ask of your data. And you want to do it, and I might add, without the technological complexity that comes along with it. And that's another premise behind Insights for ArcGIS. We try to make it as easy, intuitive, and flexible as possible. Which introduces Insights for ArcGIS is a new app that we're introducing into the ArcGIS ecosystem. It is not separate. It is not something else. It is a part of ArcGIS. With it comes a new paradigm in working and understanding your data through spatial analysis and GIS itself. It provides dynamic capabilities to perform your analysis and iterative and exploratory capabilities. So as I begin working with the information, I begin thinking it through, speed of thought, if you will. And as I begin recognizing what the information is unfolding, I can drill down even further and continue to iterate until I get to the place I need to go. And with that, the ability to work with your data is built into this as well as within ArcGIS. So everything that exists within ArcGIS is available through Insights. However, the best way to talk about it up front is to actually see it. So without that, without saying anything else, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Linda Beal here.
Oh, you want me to show something?
I'd like you to show something. Would it be nice?
Okay.
Would you like to see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But
in more detail than the plenary, please.
Yeah, no, I get a bit intimidated in front of crowds.
Well, okay, I'll have to help you through that then.
All right, let's flip.
Here we go.
Okay, so I'm going to show you a demo, and I'm going to start right from the data. So this is raw data. That's a question we sometimes get asked, you know, like, how much should I do to the data before I put it in? I did nothing to the data before I put it in. This is the data we were given. So within Insights, we work in a slightly different way. So we work in terms of workbooks. So we work within that workbook. We bring all our data in. We see our results within the workbook. We can save our workbook. It's a web application. So you then see your workbook is created as an item within your portal. So that's how you get access to that. So you see I've already got some workbooks already open, but I'm going to start afresh. With any luck? There you go. And we have, first of all, when you first come in, obviously before I can do any work, I need to add some data into work. So that's the first choice you're given. You can bring in your data from a number of different sources. So you can bring it in from your content, your organization. So let's add in some incidents. Let's go with the really big data set. And let's bring in some boundaries. You can bring in data from Excel. So I can go straight to Excel file, bring that in, and you'll see that I've got multiple worksheets within this Excel. I can bring in all the worksheets, or I can select which one of those worksheets. So this is true Excel files, not just database, not just CSVs. And also we can connect straight into databases. So this is an SQL database that we've got set up. I'll show you that one in a minute because it's a slightly different area geographically. So these are all the tables within an SQL database. So you can decide what you're going to add. You add in your data, it's going to bring it all in. So I brought in very different types of data there. depending on that type of data will depend on how you see it. So we work within something called cards. So all of these things here are called cards. Spatial data, you're immediately going to see it spatially, so it's going to put it on a map for you. These two data sets that I brought in from my Excel, they are not spatial data, it's just an Excel table. So we're just going to bring that in as a table. So you get some representation of your data, depending on whether it's spatial or non-spatial, determines how you'll see it, but then we can get into working with it. So in terms of the incidence data, so this is this data set down here. Let's move these cards around a little bit. So all these cards are things that you can move around. You can change the size of it. So if you're somebody who likes working with a big map, there's no problem in doing that. The idea is that you can work with your data however you like. So let's make our map a little bigger because we all love maps.
Hey, Linda, that actually looks like a large amount of information being drawn on the screen.
It is. Let's compare that data. So we see we've got over 125,000 points in this data set. And yes, I'm working in a web browser. So we've got that ability to really visualize our data, even though I'm working within a browser. We expose all of the attributes that sit with your data. So it's going beyond the concept of actually working with layers of data, because really what we're actually working with is the attributes that sit within our layers of data. So that's what we're exposing. That's what we want to work with. When we bring in that data, we interrogate that data set and say, okay, what kind of attribute is that? So you'll see these icons at the side of it here. You can see this one's got a location. This one's a numeric. We have time in here. Somewhere in here we have categorical data. So I'm able to work with that data. We now know by looking at that data and deciding what type it is, we can start to give you some sensible defaults as to what you can do with that data. So that's part of the reason we interrogate that data. But we can change it. I mean, zip code is a perfect example we always use. It's numeric. We use numbers in terms of zip codes, but actually, we want to treat that as a categorical piece of information. It belongs to an area. It's not something we want to get the average of or find the total number of. It just represents a single area. So in that case, if I right-click on that variable type, I can change it. So I could change this to a string from being an hour. So now it's going to be treated as a string. So in my mind, that's a whole load of time saved right there, because when you're bringing in your Excel tables, it comes through as a number and actually you want it as a category. You don't have to take it back out, recalculate, or even if you're talking within your feature layers, you don't have to add another field, do a field calculation, adding it in. You just change it in the table of contents and start working. That also sort of brings up the concept of how we've been trying to develop insights is we're trying to do things that will save time so you can work with all of your data in one place, but to answer spatial questions. I mean, ultimately, that's what we're trying to do, spatial analysis. But the idea that you can bring in other data is just to enhance your spatial analysis. So in terms of the Excel tables that I brought in, so you can add location. So I can geocode this data in the sense that I've got a geographic field layer here, so I'm joining it to this boundaries layer I have here, and I'm just picking out, I'm going to join that incidence data, and now I can add that. Oh, didn't like the card, but there you go. So it's created this new layer in which I now have location added. So now I've made my Excel table geographic, and now I can map that data to the locations. So bringing in non-spatial data, we can geocode that very easily. We can link it to data. If it's XY coordinates, obviously you can do that, make it spatial. Or you can just start to work with it. You don't have to work with spatial data. There's nothing wrong sometimes with non-spatial data. So I've brought in this table here, and now we can just see the crime types. That's such a boring graph. I'm taking that away. The percentage change between the 2 years. So now you see Again, I've brought across a categorical variable, so it knows it's going to create a bar graph. It makes sense for it to have a bar graph within that data. So, in terms of, so that's really covering in bringing in your data. So let's flick to another page, because we can organize our data within this worksheet. That's one way of organizing it. So in each one of our pages, we could do a different analysis, we could answer different questions, or even just simply have an overflow from what we're doing before. But it does provide a way of sort of stepping through your analysis and breaking up your thought of how you're actually doing that analysis. So let's bring in some more data layers. I'm going to make these a little bigger so you can see them. Okay. So I've got two geographic layers here. I can sync my maps, of course, so that now I'm seeing them in the same place. And we can obviously do spatial analysis. That's really one of the key points within Insights. We have this action button down here. So that action button appears on any one of these cards. So what happens is, even though we're actually exposing our attributes here in the table of contents, we're also subdividing that work up within each one of the cards. So if I take, for example, something like a filtering, and I wanted to do, change my year to a string, I want to filter to just 2014 data. Doing that in my table of contents now means that all my downstream analysis is going to use only 2014 data set. So that's something that's saying the data within this page is going to use this filter. If in fact I wanted to just make that by my card, so just for one particular operation, then I can go in and do my filter on my card in exactly the same way. So I do it by year, and then I could filter that data there. So there are different ways that you can filter out that information, and different ways you can affect it down throughout your analysis. So the analysis tools that we have at the moment, we have a few analysis tools that we put in. So obviously buffering, aggregation, spatial filters, density. We're going to have a lot more proximity analysis to find nearby locations. You're going to be able to do enriched data. And as well as having those action buttons, I'll show you one of these tools. So if I want to do a buffer, you'll see that that tool is attached to that card. So I can do that analysis right there on that data set. But I can also, for a lot of these operations, I can just go from one card to another. So if I want to aggregate these burglaries, in this case, to my service areas, I drag that over onto the other card, and you'll see as I did that, these drop zones are appearing. So I can add that as a new layer, so I can have multiple layers on any one of these cards, or if I take it down into this drop zone, I have the option to do a spatial aggregation. So that's then going to summarize that data to each one of those police districts. So that is simple access to spatial analysis. Our summary statistics, so something pretty much all want to know what we got from that data, it's right there on the back of the card. So there's no searching for information, getting the information of what is that value at that location. Well, we can see that value. And I'm also seeing it in context of my whole data set. So we're seeing what the value is there, what's the minimum, maximum, what's the mean. So I can now make a judgment in context. It's fairly easy with a small data set here to see the spread within the data. But if you're talking about something much larger, you've got overlapping simples, then it's much harder for you to pull that out. So we've thought about how we're actually going to see that pop up to give you that real information.
But Linda, I need to step back a couple of steps, because okay. I don't think everyone got that.
All right.
Could you go back to where you were? Easily?
I can press this magic button up here called undo. So we can undo every single one of those steps. And just to show.
Now, wait a minute. You can totally undo what you just did?
Can totally undo
with the click of a button.
All of my little actions.
Can you redo what you just did?
I can redo it all. Look at that.
How many times did you actually make a mistake along the way that you wish you didn't, and you can quickly do an undo? Everybody, right? Isn't that cool? No? Yes? Cool. All right. And then the interactive analysis, you can do that spatially?
I can do that spatially.
What else can you do interactively?
So if I drag one of my attributes, I'll start again. So here I just have them as I brought in, so it's just recognizing the original symbology I had. If I want to say, right, now I want to see that map by crime subtype, it's now going to immediately visualize using that variable. So I'm not having to hunt around. If you want to hunt around, you can. We've put legends in there, so you can do that. Down here, there's a symbol style. So there are the traditional ways of doing things. We're not trying to make such a huge learning curve, even though I don't think dragging and dropping is a huge learning curve. But hey, if you like your old way of doing it, it's there. It's just buried a couple of clicks down. What we're trying to do is make the stuff that we do every day just right up there at the front. All our legends, totally interactive. So you can select out that information. And again, we have the count there. So you're not having to open your attribute table to see how many you've got within that. We're just telling you that information straight away. So you've got that. Come on, what else are you going to interrupt me with? Challenge me.
Challenge?
Challenge me.
What, okay, I want to filter out just a specific area.
Ooh.
I don't want everything.
You don't want everything?
Nope.
Why would you not want everything?
Because I'm only interested in a specific area of interest.
Okay.
Let's see what you got.
I will drag across my location. You know you just want the ooh factor here, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Which area would you like?
How's about, pick one.
Pick one. Okay. I'm going to pick this one. Ta-da! Da, da, da. I have a new drop zone. So last time you saw I had add new layer at the top. I had spatial aggregation at the bottom. Now I've got filter by selected area. The reason we can do that, we know that this is a polygon. We know these are points. We know you can filter points with polygons. So we can bring up whatever drop zones make sense depending on your data type. So that's also part of how we're looking at that data and saying, what is it? We know what we can do with that.
So convenience is built in.
It is.
Cool.
It's almost like we've done this GIS stuff before, isn't it?
Yes, just a little bit.
Go on, what else? Should we do some database stuff?
Sure.
Okay, let's bring in the database.
How many people have data in a real database? Okay. I'm not talking enterprise geodatabase. Yes, we know we do that, and we've always done that for years. I'm talking native SQL databases like SQL Server, SAP HANA, Teradata, things of that nature. Who would like to connect to those directly from within ArcGIS? Cool.
They want to get their job done.
Yes, they want to get their job done. Well,
so
let's help
you
get your job done.
So here are all the tables within my database. I'm going to add in one with consumption, one with locations. Let's add those in. So you'll see I have locational field within my locations. Let's pop that on a map. And I will find those points. There are a lot of points in this data set. So 33,000 locations. But more importantly, at each one of these locations, we have 10 years' worth of data that's been collected every single month for every single one of these 33 locations over 10 years. So that's a lot of information in the other table. And I don't want to make that many numbers of features. I just want to join that information to those locations. So over here, I have this tab here for relationships. So if I click on my relationships, it's going to tell me what tables I can join. So I can join my locations to my consumptions. Again, I'm just using this drag and drop experience, dropping it on top. The first features that it comes to in common, it's going to give me that as an option. But I can change that to anything else. So I'm going to change that to my account number because that's the unique identifier. We also have four different types of joins. So we're talking about database joins. We're not talking about just doing standard GIS joins. So you can choose what works for your join. Now you'll see I have a new data set joined in here. It's one data set, so it's taken those two. I still have the original ones here if I want to work with them separately, but it's also now created me this new joined data set, or related data set, I should probably say, that now has location in it. So now I can see consumption by location. Which will be slow. Because now this is where we're visualizing this 10 years worth of data at each one of these locations across all those months. So, and the other thing you should be noticing here, I'm working in exactly the same way. It didn't matter whether I brought in the Excel data, whether I brought in feature layers, now I'm working with an SQL database. It's exactly the same experience I've got, and that's the important thing. It's about working with your data, and it doesn't matter where it comes from, about working with it in one place and doing our spatial analysis there. You want me to show anything else?
Yes. Yes, I'm waiting for it. Mic drop.
Okay, the mic drop. Over here, our analysis view. I haven't really done very much on this page. It's not going to look very impressive. Let's go with maybe this page. So everything I've been doing has been recorded. So you'll notice as I flick through each one of these pages, and that's why I was saying at the start, working in pages allows you to kind of break up doing your analysis. So each one of these pages has been recorded. So keeping those separately, both in your mind and as you work, I now have these workflows created for each one of those pages. If I want to rerun that again, I can just run it again. I can update it with different data. And of course, I can share that with someone else so that they can rerun the exact same analysis. The other huge thing that I think is that, of course, it's documented everything I've done. So a lot of the times you're doing analysis, it's 3 months later before you do something pretty similar, or somebody finally reads the email that they said was urgent. And there you go. They said, oh, I'm not sure which data set did you use, or did you aggregate to which size areas? And it's like, oh, okay. I don't remember, because I never got around to writing it down. And all my files are called final, clearly. Sometimes in caps, if I really meant it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes twice. Really meant that one. But now I have it documented without adding another job.
That's excellent. Can I actually take this and share it with someone else in my organization?
You can. You can share your workbook with the organization so they can have, as assuming you're allowed to share. You can then share all your results. You can share all your workflows. Or you can just share the workflow. So the way you'd be sharing your workflow is as a template. So when you come into when I started in at the start and I have my workbooks at the very start, you could just add in a template at that stage and then you could run that template. You'll see from the back of the page, hydrating it with your data. The moment you add in your data, it will automatically start running that workflow. If there's a feature of that you don't want to do, let's say I'm given this by you and I don't want to do the filtering, I can just delete that. It will break everything downstream, but some of the things, if you don't just want the front portion, you could just do that. You could affect it in your own way to do your own analysis. Okay. You want to talk some more? I'm tired.
Sure, let's flip it back over to the slides.
Go on.
Excellent.
What are you?
Five.
There you go.
All right. So, that was a good look at what Insights brings to the table. There's definitely a whole bunch more to it.
There is.
And we should probably get into some of those details. Just a quick recap on what you saw. Keep in mind that, in fact, we are introducing a new portal item type known as a workbook. And the workbook is organized into pages. And the results of your analytic operations are displayed as cards within the pages. Those are all things that exist within your portal and the portal information model. Therefore, it exists within the ArcGIS ecosystem, and you can share them across the board. And the larger sharing story we'll get into a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So let's dive in and truly get into the features.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to do this part?
I want to, yeah.
All right, I'll let you do
this. You've talked enough.
Thank you.
I need to see the screen.
There you go.
Okay, so I've shown you the interactivity. So we have the drop zones. As I say, it's going to be looking at the data type. So it will give you the drop zone if you can do that. There is always going to be one drop zone because we can always add layers onto the map. So you can have multiple layers. The same way in terms of the drop zones, when you drag it across and you can create your maps, charts, or tables, you'll also see the same experience in that sense, that if it has a spatial component, you'll be able to drop it onto the map drop zone. If it doesn't, then you'll only have the options of the other two. So we're trying to help as you go through as to what you can do. So the drop zones, at the moment, we've got a maximum of 3. We know we can extend it, but these are special places, so we're waiting for the magic workflows that we want to go in there. So at the moment, you can add, you can filter, and you can do a spatial aggregation. So the other thing we can do is everything in terms of the cards is completely interactive between them. So when you're dragging across your attributes from the one layer, in the sense, everything within that is going to interact. You don't have to set that up. That is the action by default. Now, I mentioned that you can start filtering on your data. So you could start filtering off a subset and then start working with that filtered subset and seeing the interactivity between those two, 3, 4, whatever you want to do. So you can pull out a lot more interesting features by looking at a number of different variables together. So we can be looking at changes over time, changes in the value, and changes in location all at once. Now, of course, there are a lot of cartographic techniques that allow you to do that, but that gets a little bit more complicated, and that's usually further down the line of your analysis. This is really about exploratory analysis. You want to just quickly get your data in there, have a look at it, and try and get a feel and an understanding what's missing in the data, what values have you got, is everything coded correctly? And you want to see that across time, space, values, and we can do that using that interactivity. So I showed the spatial tools that we have from the action button. So we have that pop-up. It will give you a number of different spatial tools. So for a lot of you, that's what you want. You know what tools you want to do your analysis. You know where it is. You just go ahead and do it. But sometimes we're actually looking at something that's maybe out of what we're normally used to doing, or sometimes you're not used to working spatially. So on the same action button, different tab, we have something called Find Answers. So what we've done there is we've categorized a lot of the tools, and in this sense, Find Answers tab, it's not just about spatial tools. It is genuinely, as it says on it, finding answers. So what we're doing is we're offering suggestions as to different functions, shall I say, that you could do with that data. So you want to look at the distribution. Well, you might want to look at a density surface, as that's going to show it to you. Or you might want to look at histogram. That's going to show you the values. Or you might want to just classify the data that you've got. So sometimes it's a very obvious thing, but you might not immediately think, oh, yeah, I could just reclassify, I could use a different classification scheme to pull out so I just see all my data in quantiles or something. So what we're doing is just saying there are all these features, run through them, and every time you click on one of those, it's going to give you another pop-up card. So it's going to give you another one of those features that says, that was perfectly timed, says in this example, here's my histogram, and then that pulls out that information. And of course, back to the interactivity. We've popped up the card on it, it's related to that card, and then you've got that interactivity between them. So we are still developing this, so we're working hard to get all our tools and functions in here. We've worked hard with a lot of people across a number of different industries to ensure that we're listening to people. We don't want to overload it. We're not rebuilding ArcGIS. We have ArcGIS. This is a part of ArcGIS. What we're trying to do is make interactive, exploratory space analysis quick, easy, and accessible, and be able to link to multiple sources of data. So in order to do that, we wanted to pull out just the key spatial tools that we feel and that you've been telling us help you answer the majority of your workflows. It's probably not going to answer every single one of them. But for some people, that's going to be the start of your analysis. And you're going to want to explore the data. You're going to see what distributions you have in that, and therefore what further analysis you can do with that. In other cases, it really is the end of your analysis. You want to see the changes over time. The line graph shows it perfectly. Well, that's your analysis done. So it's useful at different stages and at different types of analysis that you can use it. So, hang on, I haven't come.
Whoa!
You're not listening, are you? So, the spatial tools that we're putting in at the moment, we have spatial filters, kernel density, find similar, spatial aggregation, find nearby, spatial joins, and buffers. We're going to use both fixed distance and drive time buffers. And of course, we're equally matching that with a number of data analysis tools. So we're trying to combine the spatial analysis, straightforward data analysis, and then also, obviously, the standard things like field calculations. We can't live without them. We always want to do our field calculations. We've tried to make that as simple as you can. So it's a one-stop shop. You open your data table, click to add a field, and then you just write it in right at the top. So you have your equation right there. We're also going to enable it so that there are a number of sort of built-in functions. So fairly standard kind of equations that you want to do, so you don't have to keep double-checking that that is how you calculate percentage change. It's going to be there. And again, that gives you that kind of security that you can rerun your analysis, do the same again. Okay, now you can press it. So, do you want to talk to this one? You want me to keep going?
No, I'll take it from here.
Okay,
how's that? Cool. So all the analysis that has been described and discussed, either through interactivity or through selecting the options from a given card's action button, are representative of the results of that analytic operation into a card. Now, a card is a container that shows the results. A result may be represented by a given visual, but the visual isn't the thing. It's the result that's the thing. And the result may be best represented, maybe a map, maybe a bar chart, maybe a tree map or a bubble chart, or back to a map again. You may want to flip between those different visualizations, and we've made that as easy as possible. And as you flip between them, you get different operations that you can perform with them.
Should we show it? Let's
yeah,
show
could
the
you
visualizations.
Please. That'd be great.
They're so cool. Okay. Let's zoom in. What number am I?
4.
There you go. Okay. So here we've got our map of... This is my subcrime types. So I can zoom in. We have our map. And here, with the one-click stop, we have all the different visualizations I can do with that. So anything that we see in the slightly darker gray is an option I can do. So again, we're using the data type to say, yeah, this type of data will lend itself to doing, let's say, a bubble chart. Gosh, these are boring, aren't they?
Yes.
A tree map. I should have put some more interesting data. Why don't I go to this one? There you go. I've got a lot more on that. There you go. Okay. Let's do a bubble chart there. That looks much more interesting. And the idea of this is really, apart from the fact that they're very cool, is really the different ways we look at our data can pull out different information.
Right.
So I can see very quickly at a glance of that which one of these crime types there are the most of. So that wasn't visible from the map. From the map, it was telling me the spatial distribution of them. So it does make sense that to answer different questions, you'll be looking at different visualizations within this data. So you see, I'm just clicking between all of these visualizations, and we can always go back to our map. So, I mean, that to me is a really nice way of exploring the data in different ways and being sort of guided through different understanding of that data. Okay.
So, as you can see, working with your data is kind of important. Seeing what your data provides you is also as important in a number of different ways. With that said, how many times are you doing an analysis study and you need a standard boundary?
Yep.
Quite a bit. We've made standard boundaries readily available to your organization at 10.5, and within Insights, depending on where your organization is located, it will pull up the standard boundaries, the administrative boundaries that we know about, and present them directly within the application of Insights. However, because this is part of ArcGIS, it too will be a new group type in your portal. So if you have custom boundaries or other types of administrative boundaries that you're interested in, just like base maps, I can create that group, assign the group to that area, and it'll just reflect in Insights as well.
So, I mean, if you want to just aggregate your data up to the boundaries, I mean, I showed you with police service areas, but if you're looking to do it within a census boundary, it's right there.
Right.
There's no searching for your census block groups, your zip codes. Just have it.
You have geos there?
I do. I don't know if they work, but I have them.
Oh, I know they work. Yeah.
Such confidence.
Yes. Whoops. There. Geos.
Change to that page. I've got to get rid of that. It's depressing me. Map.
You're in focus mode. New page.
I'll tell you. Okay, standard geographies. Is this tab here? So I could switch to that, and then we have all our geographies within that.
Can you draw counties?
Can I draw counties?
Just draw them direct.
Yeah.
In a web browser, have you ever seen the entire counties of the U.S. draw it one time? There it was, and it just took a couple of, maybe a second.
I'm going to do that again.
Yes.
Because they couldn't really see it. There you go. Counties. Map. Oh. Take that off. You've got an amateur working with you. You know that, don't you?
Hmm. All the counties drawn just like that. And it's fully responsive. And, of course, I can equally do that not just as a layer, but I can use that for filtering. I can use that for aggregation across all the different boundaries. That's kind of important. And, of course, as you can see, as the mouse moves over, it's fully interactive. These are actual vectors being drawn on the client. Cool. So standard boundaries are one thing that most people use in their analytic studies, but how's about market segmentation information, like tapestry data? That, too, will be enabled as part of Insights, but through your workflows, not as yet another tool that you have access to. If I'm looking at a given area of interest, I might have this thing that says, tell me more information about it. Of course, at this point, it's U.S. only, but we're looking at expanding that out. And, of course, demographics. As you know, Esri has demographics from over 100, well, I'll just say 100-plus countries around the world. Those demographics will be made available through Insights so you can do all kinds of things, whether you're normalizing by population or you're simply enriching your layer with additional information that's relative to the area of interest you're looking. And, again, all of that is just available through Insights as part of the ArcGIS ecosystem. Of course, data becomes pretty important. This is where we kind of shift the conversation to data. We've been talking about the analysis, some of the feature capabilities, but let's also understand the data, which is, as we know, important. Insights allows you to add data to your workbook by page. Every page you can add different types of data, so you can organize your plots, as Linda pointed out. As you add a feature layer in, it will create a separate entry in the table of contents for that given layer. Very traditional, very much familiar to what you already know. And again, as Linda pointed out, if in fact there's a relationship, here's a standard one up there, you have sales transactions, stores, and products. Obviously, there's a relationship there. I need to be able to quickly join those without having to go all the way back to my DBA or my data modeler and say, give me a query that can do all this. I just want to do this on the fly. So we are enabling that in a more of a self-service mode, if you will, that most anyone can do, assuming they understand their data. And that will be created, and you can work with it directly within your table of contents. Now, the big topic of data. What data do we actually work with, right? As you know, data is a large landscape, and there's a lot of it out there. To begin with, this is the level of data that we're starting with at 10.5. We're focused, again, of course, ArcGIS data types, feature layers, and geodatabases and whatnot. But, of course, spreadsheets. Who does not use Excel? I thought so. Everyone uses Excel. And a lot of times you export your data from a primary system into Excel to do some extra work. Well, there's a lot of Excel data laying around. We can bring those directly in. think Linda just showed that. Mm-hmm. Business databases. Now, this is in addition to your enterprise geodatabases. We can work directly with business databases. And, of course, the almighty big data and real-time data. Of course, I've never met data that was small, but this is a way of working with both structured and unstructured data in very efficient ways that you could not normally do with a relational system. This is known as our geoanalytics and geoevent capabilities of ArcGIS.
I think some people use small data in demos, don't they?
Not us. We don't use small data in demos. 1,000 features is not a demo for insights. So with that, how many people have seen this kind of a spreadsheet before? This is pretty typical out there, right? Now try taking that into a CSV. Most people don't understand that, right? It doesn't work necessarily. We want to be able to bring those kinds of tables in, and simply put, we drag and drop those in. We'll be able to interpret those and work with those. Not just tables of information, but cell ranges, named ranges, as well as tables. Power pivot tables are also included in that. Now this is, if you also know, we have another application called Maps for Office, ArcGIS Maps for Office. Well, that actually brings ArcGIS into Office, but we're also taking some advantage of that work and bringing it into ArcGIS as well, the opposite direction. After all, data is important in order for us to get those answers. Have to talk about geodatabases. Of course, you probably, it was implied, enterprise geodatabases. We will work with all enterprise geodatabases, hands down. Of course, through the same model that you have today. Publish a feature class, there's a feature there within a given service, and you can begin to use it. So enterprise geodatabases are there. Connecting to business databases is kind of also very, very important. Working with your business database traditionally has been like this really hard thing to do. It's outside, or in the old days, or today, inside of ArcMap, I can do a query layer. But those are limited to just that one query. In this case, we want to perform all the interactions that are available from the front end of Insights directly with any of those tables within your SQL databases. And connecting to them and working with them also needs a convenience aspect to it. How many people here know how to work with an ODBC connection? A few, but most people don't. The hardest part about working with a connection to your SQL database should be entering in your user credentials, and that's it. I shouldn't have to worry anything more. And from that, the system should handle it. I mean, how long has this stuff been around? We want to make this convenient for you so you can just work on the project that you're on and not focus on the technological complexities therein. With that said, the landscape is large, and this is just a small little thing. There's a lot more than this. So we're starting out fairly simple, and I'm going to throw Oracle into the mix. Is everyone who has Oracle in-house? Who has SQL Server in-house? More SQL Server than Oracle, but you notice it too. Mm-hmm. SAP HANA? There's a few. Good. Teradata. There's a few there too. We're going to continue evolving this over time, but in fact, working with these directly is a critical aspect to working with data, and so we're going to enable that directly from within Insights as well as over time within ArcGIS as a whole. However, with that said, we know as part of Esri core development, we can't keep up with all the different data sources out there. So at 10.5, this will be extensible through a professional services engagement or through one of our partners. Over time, this will be made available as an extensibility point of Insights. Of course, this is part of your workbook. It's actually created as a new relational database item inside a portal, so it's available as a new item type. And, of course, I already talked about the extensible dialects. And, of course, big data. Who's already gone down the path of big data? There's a few of you, okay? Data is increasingly becoming so large that typical and traditional relational systems are having a tough time keeping up with them and clustering that out over time and in columnar memory stores and all this other stuff is getting reaching its limits. So we have to come up with new ways of dealing with things. And our geoanalytics capabilities as part of ArcGIS 10.5 is that way Esri is going to deal with them in addition to the real-time geoevent capabilities. This enables you to register a data store, a big data store directly with ArcGIS, or take advantage of our own spatial temporal data store and allow us to manage your big data itself. Either way, we will work with it within Insights. You'll be able to find those registered data stores. We'll be able to interrogate the metadata and display it in the table of contents, just like a SQL data source, Excel hosted feature layer, regardless. Insights itself is designed to abstract away those concepts. However, with that said, the different types of data sources will introduce different types of experiences. For those that are, I don't want to geek out on you or anything, but think about a SQL Server database running on a i5 dual-core processor with only 4 gig of RAM, and it has over 60 million records in it. That's going to be a weak link, especially if your indexes are all screwed up, especially if you have multiple users hitting that database. So the weakest link is going to be how you set up that hardware. That's specifically related to that. But keep that in mind as you work with these data sources, especially with the external data sources. If it's part of ArcGIS, we're managing it for you, we've got that covered. But externally, that's the way things work. For big data itself, again, you're running traditionally big data on multiple clusters across commodity hardware. We're actually working to enable quick access to that, but again, it's not in sub-second time like what you're seeing in some of these use cases with Insights. What used to take weeks, if not days, now takes minutes. And as such, Insights is designed to understand that and enable not only the short-running processes, things that run in 2 seconds or less, but also the longer-running processes to enable the big data types of workflows directly inside of Insights. Now, keep that in mind also that as you're working on a given operation, it's asynchronous, which means I can do multiple things at once. So as one operation is running, I can continue working with my other data sets and continue performing my analysis across multiple pages. And when it's done, it'll be there. It'll show up. And you just continue working with it from there. So that's an important point I just wanted to bring out. So we talked about data. We talked about analysis. We talked about the different features and the way you work with things interactively, statically. If you know the tools, go right to them. If you're kind of still learning the power of what GIS brings to the table, the find answers. And of course, the highly interactive, iterative nature of Insights through exploratory analysis, as well as it being very forgiving, that undo and redo thing. Those are all important things that I really want you to take away with.
Should we show the tables?
We didn't show summary tables.
We didn't show tables.
We knew we forgot something.
Well, we're
one more
to.
Thing for
we're
you.
Bound to. So, tables. I talked about doing calculations. So up here we have our data table. So attribute table, data table, whatever you want to call it, it's there. So this is the add field. So I'll imagine it, they call that a new field. And then you can just do your calculation right there. There you go. And run. And there you go. It's not got all the information on every field because some of this data is missing. So just in case you think it failed. I'm only saying that because you picked me up on it.
Yes, I did.
So there you go. So it's easy to do your field calculations, and that's your data table, your attribute table that belongs to the layer you're working with. But we're also working with these visualizations. So as we drag and information across, you'll see I can do the map, chart, or table. So we can also do the table. So let's have a look at. So this is phone calls that have been made. They decide whether the phone call was important or not, and whether there's been what the leak rate is, let's say. If I drag those two variables across, show the table, you'll see that's very different to the table we saw a minute ago because this is a summary table, essentially a pivot table. So by each one of these categories, it's giving me the sum of those. I can make it the average of those values or the minimum or the maximum of these values. So this is doing these dynamic calculations on the fly. I can do it for multiple numeric fields. So if I want to bring across the duration, it's calculating that for each one of these priorities. If, in fact, I want to change that to another categorical variable, so now I'm bringing across status, you'll see that's now updated that and updated all these other fields. So however you want to slice and dice that data, you're not having to do another summary statistic or another calculation on the field, you can just quickly explore that data and get the number of values, the average, the sum, whatever it is you're looking to find within each one of those tables. And of course, you'll see the new field that I've got down here. I can work with that directly. So I can bring that in. You see that's now added another column into my table that's given me that value. So that's tables.
Yeah, we recently got that in there too, so I'm glad we didn't forget to show it.
Linda?
Yeah, isn't it great you didn't forget?
That's right, it's awesome. So, it brings us back to, who's this really for? Let's talk about that for a minute. A lot of people think that this is specifically for analysts that don't have time to do anything but statistics or spatial something, 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 right? Well, in fact, it's more than that. Who is our typical user?
There's no such thing as typical.
Exactly. Why don't you take this one?
All right. So, I mean, I've kind of alluded to this already as to who we have in mind with this. It's really about, as I said before, it's about exploring your data. It's about exploratory analysis. So pretty much everyone falls into that camp. We all do some kind of exploratory analysis. In some cases, that exploration will lead you to the understanding, the result, however you see it, of what you're looking for. You see your data in a different way. You filtered out certain features. You summarized it in a different way. You have what you were looking to understand within that data set. Job done. That's it. You share those results. So you can share that result. You're talking about sharing in a minute, aren't you? So I'm not going to say too much. You can share your results. Stop there.
It's okay.
But also, if you do want to do some really in-depth analysis and you have your own specific tools you want to run, your own statistics you want to calculate, this is where the idea is that we do work within ArcGIS. We're part of the whole ecosystem. It's very easy. We're working with feature layers in the same way. So you're still not back to that idea of exporting data as in taking it out of one system and into another. No, you're all in that same system. You've explored your data. You understand it. You know what you can do with that data. You know what you want to do with that data. You take it into desktop or wherever where you have your own tools. If you have your own services you want to run, you can run all of that against that. It doesn't preclude you from doing your exploration very quickly using Insights, which is exactly where I find myself. I mean, I don't do all my analysis within Insights. I look at my data, I get to a certain point, and then I would take it somewhere else. But as I say, in some cases, it might be enough for me to do it. So really, it's for everyone. It just depends where it slots in terms of what you want to do. For some people who don't even want to do what I would consider the reasonably simple spatial analysis that we've put in there, you don't have to. You know, we've put it down on the action button. It's in the drop zone, but it's not in your face. If you just want to look at the charts and you want just the interactivity between it, and doing the other is intimidating, so say for some executives or something, they just want to see their data, well, they can still do it. There's still a place for them to use in that.
Cool.
Okay, go.
So, how do you get it? Insights is being delivered as part of ArcGIS 10.5. We are on the same schedule as the rest of the ArcGIS platform, and it will be delivered on-premises first, behind the firewall. So, ArcGIS, you install the enterprise server, you install the JS server. I can't remember the exact name that they talked about. ArcGIS for Server. It's a part of Portal. It's a part of ArcGIS for Server, along with the data store, and you get it. These capabilities are existing within that platform, and that's a real simple thing. You don't have to install something separate. So you install Portal, install Server, it's available. With that said, it is a premium app, unless, of course, you have an ELA for on-premises, if I recall correctly. I'm looking at our product management team there. Yes, if you have an ELA and it's on-premises, Insights is a part of your ELA. If, in fact, you don't, then Insights is a premium app at cost, and I don't know that cost. So talk to your account manager. Talk to those two right over there. If I can put them on the spot.
We have.
I did. And they'll be able to help you out. Doug Cochran and Joris are right there, De Guzman, part of our Insights product management team. So, sharing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about sharing for a quick moment. I don't have a slide on that. My slide deck got messed up just a little bit.
Excuses.
Yes, I know, excuses. But sharing itself is really simple. The workbooks themselves are shareable across the portal in your organization. The same sharing model as feature layers, web maps, etc. There's no difference with that. We'll be able to share pages themselves. So I can actually select a page and share it. I can select individual cards within a page and share that. And more importantly, those workflows that I created within a given page can be saved out as a template, reused within your same workbook on a different page or across workbooks or shared with others across your organization. And you can rehydrate a page based on the data you're interested in to a given workflow that you've already worked. That's a real simple concept there. Now, with that said, I'm also working with results. And results are added to my table of contents on the fly as my analysis is being performed. I can take any of those created results and materialize those as feature layers. Single click, it available, now as a feature layer. Taking that a step further, the maps I create on these map cards, I want to be able to save those as web maps, reuse those throughout my organization. Again, simply share my map card as a web map. I can share any card itself as well. And I can share the card as a static image or as an interactive card along with other cards within a given page that I share as well. Now, there's also a point in time where you have analysts that are doing the work within a workbook, but then I have my executive that just wants to see the results. You don't want them having full access to everything that you did in the analysis. You just want to give them a workbook that's read-only, that's just the page with the interactive card so they can see what's going on and click through it and see the interactivity and see the results and, of course, how you achieve those results. So that's called an Insights Viewer for the workbook. So you can actually share your workbook across to other individuals and have a viewer that's read-only to your workbook. But more importantly, sometimes I need to take my results and share them as a presentation. PowerPoint is one. Story maps is another. So what we're doing is integrating the concept of one-click creation of story maps directly from the Insights project itself. So now I can not only just share my workbooks, pages, cards, and workflows, but I can also share my results as a story map or through PowerPoint presentation. That's our sharing story in a nutshell at 10.5, and that is what we're looking for right now. Feedback throughout the conference is important. We have our island down at the workshop. Please give us information. Sit down with our team down there. Our Insights development team is down there, our product engineering staff, product management staff. We're looking for information. We're looking for feedback. So as you have ideas, we want to hear from you. Beta is opening up. So timeline for this, 10.5, the 10.5 timeline is what we're on. Beta is in just a few short weeks at the end of July. It's due by the end of this year, I think, November-ish timeline. But it will be this year, and Insights will be a part of that release. With that said, we're coming to the close, and we have just a few more minutes, but please take our survey. If you're using the Esri Events app, all the information is right there. We do have just a few minutes for questions. If you have any, be glad to take them. We'll start right here. Ladies first.
So can you, are you asking if you can export the results that you've created, essentially? Yeah, so in the same way, so when we do the analysis, right. It creates a result layer, as we're calling it. You can always export that result layer, and then that will appear as another feature layer within it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it looks like everyone's kind of jumping out. We'll be up here for a little bit longer, and feel free to come on up and talk to us. Thank you.